missed the bridge on this one, but it still sounds good.
This is good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Walker the Walker in full effect, baby. First and foremost, we do not own any copyrights to any of the songs playing. We just like jazz music. this lovely ditty here is it's called Pacific Coast Highway from Niles.
All right.
Shout out to Niles, man. Good old Niles. All right, team, let's get into it, y'all. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say thank you for tuning in to Walker the Walker. I'm your man, Lou Walker. Sitting across from me is the OG man himself. That's OG Joe. OG, what's going on, boss?
Hey, everything, man. Everything is going on. No, all right. At the same time, you know?
Hey. I know that's right. Can't beat that. How you feeling today? Everything's good?
Everything is good.
You're not jubilant today?
Not today. I'm just a somber today, you know?
I get that.
Yeah. But everything is good. I had a good day so far, so I'm looking forward to ending it, I guess, with the better.
I know that's right.
So.
Yeah, before we tap in, you know, depending on the time frame that you guys are viewing this, it's Happy Memorial Day. For those, because that's just passed, and my daughter's birthday just passed, ladies and gentlemen. So it's a big happy day to her.
All right.
Big 4 years old. Showing her love on all the shows. All right, man. What's on tap today, OG? What are we talking about today?
Well, we're continuing on through with the Constitution.
Of course.
You know, but...
I think last episode we wrapped up sections... what was it? Article 1, Section 3 and 4?
Yeah, we did. But before we move on, though, we always get to the point.
Of course.
You know, in... the 2024 Florida general election.
Here it comes.
That's a national thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to highlight some dates of concern for the voters.
Why would there be concerns?
Well, because, you know, we get preoccupied with life.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of important things or dates tend to just slip past us.
Okay.
So we want to call attention to October 7th.
Okay, October 7th, ladies and gentlemen.
October 7th. That's going to end your registration online, by mail, and in person.
You said October?
October 7th.
Okay.
So October 21st starts early voting in person.
Okay.
Then the 24th of October, end request ballot by mail.
Okay.
So at that time, if you're planning to vote by mail, that's going to be the last day you can request the ballot by mail.
Okay.
So we go to November 3rd, that ends early voting in person. November 5th, end voting drop off.
Okay, the mail in.
Yes, the drop boxes.
November 5th. November 5th, last day to mail them in, ladies and gentlemen.
And that also ends voting by mail. That ends request ballot in person.
Okay.
So all of that has to be done.
In other words, have everything done by November 8th.
By November 5th, because you know November 5th is election day. You know, so you have to have all of those, your drop-off, your mail-ins, all that stuff has to be done by November 5th because, November 5th is election day. So get those things... those ballots and mail-ins and drop-offs, if that's going to be your means of voting, let's get it done by that time or get your preparations done so you can have it done by November 5th.
All right now. Big election. Big election. I think this year's election is like almost like borderline life changing.
You know, I agree with you. But you know, it's kind of funny that you say that, because if you recall, every 4 years, you'll hear the president or the incumbent saying, "Oh, this is the biggest election of all times." You know, it always comes out as such.
But you know, everybody likes to paint the picture that they're better than last year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, you know, this is the best Super Bowl of all time. You know, the highest attendance in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, this is going to be but this is going to be the real life-changing election. And I say that because, you know, we got important things on the ballot. And there's things that I like to call them bait. I call them bait votes.
Yeah. Well, because... Yeah. You got to dangle the carrot.
I don't like the fact that you're dangling marijuana, though. Don't dangle that. Because there's so many people in America that smoke marijuana. You know, and I'm not advocating for them in any way, shape, or right. form. But I will say a lot of them will go vote yes. Just on the strength of, oh, you mean to tell me I can stand outside and smoke weed now? Like, but you don't know what's coming with that.
Right.
You know, we voted yes, $15 an hour minimum wage, and this inflation happened. So it's like, you don't know what's coming with that yes. We don't know what's coming with the yes of that Roe versus Wade. We don't know, you know, what's coming yes with you know, a lot of those bills that are being implemented. So it's like, yeah, it's a tight one, but it matters. And this is not, and as you advocate for everybody to get out there and vote, I want to advocate real quick, stop letting the influencers influence your vote.
Right.
And have your own thought process. I was on social media the other day, right? Female rapper by the name of Cardi B goes on Twitter, or X, whatever they're calling it, and says, I'm not voting for either of them. I'm not voting this year. I'm not, Trump or Biden are not getting my vote. And I'm looking at her like, okay, that's fine. But what about Roe v. Wade? What about, you know what I'm saying, all of the other stuff that right. deals with the city that you're living in? How about that vote that drops your state taxes in New York?
Right.
You know, you're going to not vote for that too? And then when you don't vote about it, then you complain about how hard life is.
Right.
But you exactly. didn't vote. You got to vote, ladies and gentlemen. Don't get too stagnant worrying about what a celebrity is doing, because they can't live your life for you. All right, let's tap in.
So, we're going to just, you know, mention briefly Amendment 1 this year in November. This is making the school board election partisan or nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. This amendment does absolutely nothing except...
Okay.
Except the guy that proposed this change, I just put another feather in his cap.
I get you.
You okay. know, because when they talking about this amendment, and the representative that wrote this bill or proposing this bill is Joe Gruder.
Okay.
And when he talks about it, he says, oh, what the bill does, it'll just give you more transparency. And I'm going like...
That's something you could give me.
Well, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going like, okay, so now you don't want... this vote, you don't want this bill to change from partisan to nonpartisan.
Right.
Oh, because now, as it stands, are you telling me that you're not being transparent about the changes that are going through the school board?
Exactly.
You know, so it's going to take you writing a bill to make sure that they're transparent?
I feel like that was wasted paper.
Well, I feel like that's a waste of paper.
Yeah.
You know, because, look, whether it's a Democrat that's, you know, board,
yeah,
or a Republican board, transparency should be there anyway.
Right.
You know, so making it a Republican or Democrats, that's a waste of time, really and truly.
You're already trying to confuse us with the direction of each party, because there's not a full blown direction of where Republicans are trying to go. There's no clear direction of where Democrats are trying to go. It just seems as if y'all just either want the bill to represent you, or it's a neutral bill.
Well, you know, it's just that, you know, Tallahassee is, you know, they're grabbing power.
Yeah.
They're grabbing power from every angle. We go from a blue state, from a red state, to a purple state.
Yeah.
You know, so that's all this, to me, that's all this is about.
Right. Just all
Amendment
power.
1 was drafted or proposed by a Republican.
Yeah.
You know, so what is he trying to do? Is he trying to get, you know, political power in the school boards as well as they have, as, you know, over the state? You
right,
know, so that's how I kind of wrote that off. You know?
Okay.
That's kind of the only thing that I could see that that's doing. Because if you talk about transparency,
right,
if the school board handling all of their business like they're supposed to,
yeah,
then at the end of the day, they got to garner a report.
Yeah.
They got to let us know where they're doing with the tax dollars.
Yeah.
They got to let us know what supplies they're purchasing, what schools are they closing, or what school are they building. You know, all this has to come out, whether it's, you know, ran by Democrats or Republicans.
Right.
Even if you had an NPA, you know.
Okay.
We still have to have that information. So I don't see that, you know, a yay or nay on November 5th.
Okay.
Will do anything major to change the school board.
I mean, at the end of the day, not a big fan of the guy, but, you know, Ron DeSantis already passed a bill to give us full transparency of the school curriculum. So it's like, at the end of the day, what exactly is this? So you're, all right, so this is what tickles me. So you had, earlier in the year, you had Ron DeSantis pass the bill of giving parents the right to take a look at the school curriculum. And then you turn around and you just pass this bill for full transparency. It just gives me the feeling like y'all want to hide things.
Is there something they don't want us to know?
You feel me?
Like, you know,
it puts you in that light where you're using terms. Like, remember yesterday when we were engaged in the party and we were talking about the Constitution's line of pursuit of happiness. Why is that implemented into the Constitution? And then it asks the same question. Why do y'all have to use certain terms like transparency? That tells me that y'all have had a long history of keeping things from us, but in the same breath, want my damn vote. It don't work like that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, not only your vote, they want your tax dollars as well, you know. And
you gonna mess around and have me on Wesley Snipe time. You ain't get none of that for a few years.
Look, and so I don't see that we need to vote for transparency. That should be an automatic.
Yeah.
You know, you go to any meeting, you know, look, give me the whole story.
A whole truth.
Yeah, give me the whole story.
It can't just be a slogan for court.
Right.
The truth, the whole truth,
exactly.
Nothing but the truth, so help me God.
So
and don't give me half-truths. I hate it. It's a pet peeve too, Pop. It's a pet peeve of mine.
But then, you know, you got the Republicans are pushing for the yes vote on Amendment 1.
Right.
Democrat representatives are pushing no, of course. You know, and they're just saying, essentially the same thing that I'm saying. You know, look, we're supposed to be transparent anyway. Yeah. So Joe is just actually just trying, like I said, trying to get another feather in his cap.
Yeah.
Because I look at a lot of
it. Credited for that?
Well, yeah, because, you know, when you get ready, when it's time for you to move on to a different position, if you will,
okay,
another post, you know, and so they look at your track record.
Okay.
You know, what have you done since you've been in the Senate? You know, what did you do when you was a state representative? You know, so
how many bills did you write? How many of those bills got approved?
Yeah, then didn't die on the Senate floor, as they call it. You know, so
okay.
But
he's trying to get his merit badge.
Well, of course, man. They do anything, and a lot of times, you know, it's just like an invention.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a perfectly good item invented.
Okay.
But then there's that one guy has decided that if it had more of a curve here, it would be more useful. So he takes your patent, okay, and recreate it with that little bit of curve.
Right.
And now he's got a new invention.
Right. Yeah. And because he
made that one correction.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole new product.
Right.
And so that's what I'm seeing right here.
And what I'm not liking about it is the idea of, okay, you overshadowing or you're taking away the potential credit or profit for the original maker just from a small alteration.
Well, that's a possibility, but then think about it like this. I can't be the only one thinks that item needs to have that additional turn on it.
I mean, you're right. At the end of the day, I mean,
so do we have a million other people that are seeing the same thing? That's another $1 million, you know, for the new invention.
I guess.
You know, it's the survival of the fittest, I guess.
It's a dog-eat-dog world, for sure. It's a dog-eat-dog world, for sure. That's why when I discuss with people, I say when I plan my life, I plan it with plan A, B, C, D, E, because A and B are good, but somebody might have a C to take your B.
Well, that's you know, expected.
You know what I mean?
You know, you
either
I have the ultimate...
I can't
proposal or somebody else gonna have it.
I can't begin to fathom the idea of being okay with being bested by business opportunity. Let's say, like, what I mean is, let's say a millionaire takes a look at my product, right? I patent it, everything is mine, I'm getting ready to do shipping, this, that, and the third. And he go and he make, like you say, he make the same thing with a different little alteration to it, call it a different name, patent that, because he has more connections than I do, and people don't know how to check brands. They just get the product itself. I might not get all of the sales that I'm going to get because I don't have the connections to push it the way that you're pushing it. Like, I got connections to throw them on, you know, a IGA shelf. I might be able to have it pushed to a Harvey shelf, a public shelf. But you got Walmart, Sam's Club, Costco. Like you got all those major hitters. And then I'm missing out on profit.
Well, that's a possibility. But the long...
So you want to have transparency bills that need to be on the patents.
but you know, when it comes to stuff like that, you know, a lot of times, man, the people that build your prototype,
yes,
they also promote your product.
Yeah.
You know, so they are going to put your product in all these places that the other guy has his.
Right.
You know, so people are so, you know, they think competition is healthy.
Right.
You know, so there you have it.
And I'm looking at them like, what health? Have you seen your lungs? Have you seen your lungs lately? Because I used to think the same way. I used to be the type of person to say, man, I don't like it when it's too easy. I like a little challenge. I like competition. I like to fight for it. But it's like when you get to a point where you done worked so hard and you done bust your tail and you done earned this, and somebody just because they worked a week longer than you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a pain that's hard to recover from, man.
Yeah. But at any rate, you know, I asked a question about Section 4 the last podcast, you know, and I was concerned why the first Monday of December, you know, they meet once a year.
Yeah.
Why the first Monday of December? Why couldn't it have been any other day of the year?
Right.
But they specified the first day, even in the 20th Amendment.
Right.
It even ratified the first Monday of December. So I kind of looked in to try to understand
it. It's like the last month of the last quarter.
Well, no, because, you know, the quarters end in October. Now, you know what I mean? Really? Yeah. Your quarters are not calendar month.
Okay, because I'm sitting there like, okay, because you got January and then you got March. That's one quarter.
Well, that's a calendar. That's a calendar year, but they don't. They use what they call fiscal year.
Oh, the fiscal.
For business cycle purposes.
You get out of here.
But the framers of the U.S. Constitution recognized that the economy was agricultural based. Okay. And December was the most dormant month of the year. Okay. So because they have to plant and harvest and grow and do all the stuff. Because, they recognize the economy as being an agricultural economy.
Right.
So you have to suppose or surmise that even the senators or the representatives that was participants with the Constitution.
Yeah.
You have to suppose that these guys also was farmers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you had every industry kind of down pat back then. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, so if they're going to set up our meeting to be the first Monday of December, and we're an agricultural economy, so I can't be there if I got to plant in March and harvest and, you know, and cultivate and do all these things throughout the year. So because December was the most dormant month, everybody could get away at that time because we got no weeds growing, we got no harvesting to do. You know, everything was just at a standstill at that time. So that's kind of how they sort of concluded or decided on the first Monday of December.
Okay.
You know.
Just professional courtesy.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, so yeah. I was kind of concerned about that. But then we also listened to what Jefferson said. Jefferson said about your liberty.
Okay.
He said, liberty and democracy were virtues a society could strive toward.
Okay.
Okay, so when we ask the question about this, the pursuit of happiness, you know, liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
You know, so that was, the pursuit. You know, that's always striding. You're always striving to get to a point of liberty.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, it's not, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and have all the liberties and all the happiness. You know, it's going to be a lifelong pursuit.
Right.
You know, so.
And honestly, that term is like full circle. Makes you wonder, like, how did they know? And we said that last episode because I sit there and, you know, on the other, you know, podcast, you know, I try to advocate relationships and things of that nature. And it's just like, you know, when you're dating someone that just it has that high of an expectation of I'm supposed to get this, supposed to get that, supposed to get this, supposed to get that. You ruin the journey to get it.
Right.
So the pursuit is really the formula for your appreciation of what you got. Because if you don't pursue it, if you don't fight for it, you don't work for it, you know, you're in a position of not appreciating it, so you treat it like crap.
Well, I think sometimes the expectation, you know, limited, you know, give us a limited scope on things.
Yeah.
You know, because you're expecting to get this person. You expect it. No, well, you're in pursuit of.
Right.
You know.
And so it's the pursuit. I agree wholeheartedly with it. It's definitely the pursuit that's going to make the difference of.
That's the enjoyment of the journey.
Right.
Yeah.
It builds appreciation to where you are.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, if I walked up on a chick and I said, hey, come on, and she just comes, I'm going to appreciate her because she done did what I told her to do. But if I got to sit up there and I got to jump through hoops, take on 3 dates before I can get the nightcap, et cetera, et cetera, do all of the dances, jump through the hoops to get in that relationship, she's now appreciated more because we did more for it. So it's like when you're out there, ladies and gentlemen, and you're trying to be, you know, 100,000-aires, millionaires. Come on now, let's be realistic. Nobody is going to wake up tomorrow and just be a millionaire unless you strike lotto.
Right.
But, you know, 100,000-aires, millionaires, billionaires, whatever. You know, in order to get there, you have to grind. You got to hustle. You got to work. And the appreciation of all of that success comes with the pursuit. I'll let you finish.
Okay. I didn't mean to sidetrack. No, we're just gonna tap in on section 5.
Let's get into it.
I just wanted to close off section 4.
That's fine by me.
But section 5, article 1, section 5, speaks about each house shall be the judge of the election.
Okay.
Returns and qualifications of its own members, and a majority of each shall constitute a quorum to do business. But a small number may adjourn from day to day and may be authorized to compel the attendance of absent members in such manner and under such penalties and each house may provide, as each house may provide. So essentially what that's saying is saying that Congress has a lot of power over itself.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is nothing to do with
The people, yeah.
This is just that they're been given the power to police their own.
Right.
And when they speak of each house shall be the judge of the election.
And not by their eyelashes. I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Each house shall be the judge of the election. So each house may determine the rules of its proceedings.
Okay.
Okay. In other words, as they mentioned about people not showing up, not attending.
Right.
You know, these meetings. So they have to set up proceedings, guidelines, to make sure that these guys are showing up when they're supposed to.
Right, right.
So in doing so, they also have to punish members for disorderly behavior. You know, when you got a guy sitting up in there that decide he wants to start calling names, you know, or start, what do we call that? Insulting one another.
Okay.
You know, that's disorderly behavior. Speaking out of turn.
Right, right.
You know, disorderly behavior, you know. So they have to set up a method of punishment, a way to punish these guys for doing so. And it has to be a concurrency of two-thirds of the parties to inflict this punishment.
Right, right.
And it can go all as far as expelling a member.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty powerful when you stop and think about...
It's like an anti-social club.
Well... Well, but we I think we saw something like this in Tennessee with the young black congressman over there that got expelled.
Okay.
And then, but as everything played out, he was reinstated.
Are you talking about the gentleman that was in college, did the little speech?
I'm not familiar with that one.
I know there was a young kid. I forget what college he went to, but it was a young kid. He did a speech. I think it was like a protest speech of some sort that got him expelled, and it riled up a whole riot that eventually people complained enough, and he was reinstated.
Mm.
So it's pretty similar to
You know, so but. Majority of the members is required to constitute that quorum, so to do business. And if they don't participate, you know, then and what I mean by participate is attendance.
Right.
You know, if they don't show up, then, you know, we have guidelines. They set up the guidelines and rules to make sure that you do show up.
Right.
You know, and if you don't show up, you know, you're pretty much
screwed.
Pretty much.
Gotcha.
So each house may determine the rules of its proceedings, punish its members for disorderly behavior. Ugh. And again, it takes two-thirds of the house to expel them whenever they violate those rules. So.
I'm not trying to be funny, but this sounds like the rules and regulations of the casinos. House rules. Come on.
Yeah. You got to maintain order.
Right. Naturally.
You got to maintain order, you know, and so in doing so, you got to have those guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you have so many renegades.
I've always been the type of person to tell people that discipline is definitely the difference between success and failure.
What it?
Discipline is the difference between success and failure.
Yeah, that can be.
It no can be. If you're not disciplined, you're not getting it done.
Well, I tell you, you know, discipline is another guideline. You know, when I think about success and failure, is it discipline or is it your ambition? You know, so.
But ambition is always weighed based off your discipline.
Well,
can you say that I'm ambitious when I wake up Monday wanting to focus on the podcast and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I just want to sleep.
If
and
you
then
draw
Friday, I'm back on it.
If you put that in that order for yourself.
Yeah.
You know. So I can be ambitious about my success,
right,
but I can be terrible at that discipline at everything else.
So without the discipline, you don't get the success.
I think that I can have my drive for my goal, which can be separated from discipline of my life.
I got to disagree.
Well, you can. That's fine. Sure. You know. You can disagree, but here's it in retrospect.
Okay.
If I have a goal to become a CEO of a major corporation.
Okay.
My discipline, okay, for that ambition has nothing to do with the discipline for my life. So we got to draw two separate paths, because you got to go this direction straight forward with your ambition to get to the CEO.
Okay.
Okay. What ambition has to do with your drive for life, or what does your drive for life has to do with the ambition for your goal?
Because
you call it discipline.
Because that's what it is.
Well, you call it discipline.
This, the reason why I say it is because my life growing up, y'all can't sit there and tell us when we were kids, it all starts with the home. How you deal with it at how you living at home determines your work ethic. If you're doing XYZ at home, if you're getting up every day, making sure that your bed's made, making sure you brush your teeth every day, making sure
the mentality puts you into the gear.
That's all discipline. Tell me that.
Let's backtrack, because you're calling it discipline.
Let me
clarify myself. You're calling it discipline because you're saying that I have to do this consistently every day to get to where I'm trying to go.
Well, how else do you get successful?
Well, but see, here's the thing. What did you do in your life to get where you're at today, as opposed to what John Doe did in his life to get where he is today? See, sometimes you receive favors for just being where you are, and you did nothing to get it, to earn it. Then you got the other guy over here that went step for step for step to achieve.
But I feel like you're explaining it in a vague term.
No, it's not vague. If you understand the fact that. So here's the bottom line. And it said, and I think I may have heard you say, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
True enough.
See, so when you start hammering out about this discipline for success, it's not step one, step two, step three.
Crazy as hell, it's not as crazy as step one, step three.
Let me see who been successful just from being in the right place at the right time.
Okay.
You know,
you can't give me but two people at best.
Even I can't even give you names of anybody, you know, but the thing of it is, you know, success happens to those people that way.
But
discipline played no role.
I disagree.
Okay.
And the reason why is because, yeah, you'll have a nice little handful of people that have reached success by circumstance. Okay. You were best friends with the CEO. And the CEO croaked out, and before he was on his deathbed, before he had his last breath, he said, "Make Joe CEO," and then he died. That's some, but you have to take it. You have to take even a further step back and say, "Okay, what did I do for that person to feel that invested in me?" I have to, if you're going to find a job, if you're starting a business, you're not going to pick the person that tells you that he's always prompt, but then you have meetings at 8, and he's strolling in 8:05, 8:10, 8:15, 8:20. You know, sorry I'm late. But the disciplined guy is going to be at the door at 7:50.
Yeah, but that doesn't make that the part of the process of success.
I say it does, because if I discipline myself,
here's the process of success is acquiring your goal when you're there. In other words, you want to become the CEO of a corporation.
Right.
Do you think just going to work at 10 minutes prior to is going to put you there? Or do you think the education that you acquired, okay, and this is not a discipline thing. This is a process. You know, the discipline thing is how you conduct yourself as.
I get you.
You know, but we're talking a process here. And but I separate process and discipline.
I can't.
You have to. You know why? Because the process of becoming a CEO requires the knowledge.
It does. However, the discipline right.
is saying that, I come to work, you know, 10 minutes early. I make the meetings. And, you know,
but you also needed discipline to get the education. Everybody wakes up with a choice and a chance. And every day you wake up and you say, hey, I want to be a CEO of a company. If you're not putting yourself in the positions to get the education to get to that point, where is the discipline when you're going? Perfect example. We have an associate, right? Me and you, we have an associate. And every time we talk to him, it's a new venture. I'm doing school. I'm doing real estate.
Right,
I'm doing stocks.
Right.
I'm doing this. I'm doing that.
So that's his discipline?
No. Our the lack God. Thereof
well, but
is see, keeping him at the planning stage rather than honing in, putting the discipline to work on it.
So now you have to understand that his success is a linear process.
Okay.
You know, it's not a forward process.
Right.
So what he's doing is he's broadening in a linear manner.
Right.
Okay, so he's being successful in his own frame of mind. His discipline is getting, as you call it, discipline is getting him in a linear manner.
Right.
But see, most people, when they look at success, they look at it in a forward motion.
Right.
And it's not always the case.
You're right.
So the discipline in a forward motion is not a forward motion of discipline.
Okay.
It's that what you have to do
right.
when you have to do it.
Right.
And it has nothing to do with that discipline that you're talking about. I have to be there at 10 minutes prior.
No, I'm
I
not.
Have to say, no,
let
me finish.
That's not the guideline of the discipline that I'm speaking on. That's just an emphasis that you're using. I use that as an example. The person that's disciplined is always going to get to work on time was the point that I was trying to make. You're not going to invest in somebody that's always late to work because he's not showing the discipline of showing up to work on time. Why would you invest time in somebody that's inconsistent on being prompt?
But see, you're talking about discipline, and you're using consistencies and inconsistencies.
Because
it's a difference.
But I can't. I'm telling you, I can't see it as a difference because it's all hand in hand. I can't sit there and tell you that you know, hey, I want to be the top podcaster in 2 years. I want to have the best podcast out there, and I only do one episode a month.
Well, so what does that mean?
That means that I'm not disciplined enough to build what I need to build.
That don't mean that. See, here's to be the best or the top podcaster.
Yeah,
you have to have the top contents.
Right.
It ain't about the number of podcasts that you create. It's the content of the podcast that you create. So when you think about the guy that's being successful, it's not the discipline, it's his production.
The production is top tier because he's sticking
you to
the script.
If you want to keep it, you know, in you know, discipline as such.
I'm gonna digress.
Get back to right here.
Because I'm like at the end of the day, I feel like we're saying the same thing, but you're trying to put it into different terminologies. I'm just like, look, it's all discipline to me, because at the end of the day, you know, your knowledge is based on how often are you putting yourself into that seat to read that book. If you're not sitting down to read that book, where the hell your education coming from, man?
Well, but see, here's the thing.
Where's the education coming from if you're not sitting down reading the book?
Well, your education comes from talking to other people.
You're not getting no education from talking to other people.
Really?
Because everybody has their own form of an opinion or their own form of a perception of whatever.
Wait.
I put it to you like this.
We going off topic.
Yeah, I'll talk to you after the show.
Yeah, yeah. Because where I'm coming from.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, it's the discipline and success.
Right.
You know, I can't couple those two together.
I guess you
can be successful in other ways that discipline has nothing to do with.
You're right.
And we've seen that in life.
Because you can fail successfully.
Each house shall keep a journal.
Right.
And why do you suppose they keep a journal of each proceeding?
Everything that they need.
They keep those so that, you know, we know what grounds we're covering, you know, and we don't backtrack, you know, and everybody has to abide by these same rules.
Right.
Now, there are certain articles or items that are not journalized, and those are the ones that they consider to be of secrecy.
Okay.
You know, so we don't want to publish those. And it says, neither house during the session of Congress shall, without the consent of other, adjourn for more than 3 days, nor to any other place than that in which the two houses shall be sitting.
Okay.
Okay, so now, you call it discipline.
Right.
What we see here is a guideline for conducting business. Okay? The discipline is on the man. The guideline is on the business.
But the business can't run without the discipline of upholding the guideline.
Well, the business can run without. Look, if you overhear, as you call it, discipline, enough not to show up, you don't have enough discipline to, and I don't even want to call it that, because at this point, it's not a matter of discipline. It's just accepting your responsibilities.
Which is discipline.
Well, no. Discipline is not accepting responsibilities. Discipline is the manner in which you look at.
Right. We go. Okay. Go ahead.
So these guys, you know, discipline is secondary to accepting your responsibilities as a senator or a congressman, you know. So that put us at the end of six, and that's 45 minutes later.
So we ran it through two more sections. Are we still at it? We're still at it.
No, we're not. I don't want to debate this because
it's not. That's not.
Hold
that's
on.
Not
this this has nothing to do with what we're talking about here.
No, I just looked this up for after the show.
Okay,
let's
shut this down. And then we'll talk about that.
So in other words, all right. So in closing, when you speak on section six, they speak on more so the guidelines.
Section five.
Okay, so we didn't get to six yet.
No.
So section five, it speaks on the rules and regulations of the party in question. The guidelines, the days of meets, you know, things of that nature on how the world's going to, or how the country's going to be conducted, correct?
How the congressmen will conduct themselves. This is pretty much what this is, you know, their rules and regulations for them.
And
has nothing to do with the country yet.
No, not yet. Yeah. Okay, so we're just talking about the guidelines of the club. We're going to call it the anti-social social club. Because I liked that earlier and I'm going to keep it. But so in order to be in Congress, you got your guidelines. You need two for every state.
Right.
You guys have to meet up the first Monday in December.
Right.
You have your guidelines on how you're going to conduct your business.
Right.
And now we got to grab people.
Well, we know.
We're not there yet.
No.
We're still
sitting up, you know, how we are going to conduct ourselves.
Okay.
You know.
In your opinion. This is no books needed. This is just your thought process. How would you conduct the guidelines for Congress in, you know, based off of Section 5?
And this is what I love about it, because it often says, you know, for a more perfect union.
I love that word, more perfect.
More perfect union. And right. They're striving to have or to build a more perfect union.
Right.
And so in order to do that, you have to find fault with what's already in existence.
Okay.
And so I can't speculate. I can't even give often an opinion, because this thing is set so well.
Right.
You know, to, I don't know.
So, in other words, let's just take it.
Let's just go back to where they talk about the, it would take 2/3 of Congress to concur with misbehavior or disobedience or lack of attendance.
Okay.
It would take 2/3 of the House to punish a guy
right.
to a point of expelling them.
Right.
So now, what's wrong with that? I mean, unless you want to go stupid, you know, and I say that because I'm thinking of the Speaker of the House.
Right.
You know, they had to take 12, 14 votes to get McCarthy in.
Yeah.
But he made a concession with them that, you know, it will only take one person to go against me, to oust me. Now, why would, I mean, I want the job. But I'm not going to, you know, set myself up for, you know.
Inevitable no.
Yeah, I mean, it only take one person to say, hey, look, you know, I don't like your negotiations with the Democrats.
Right.
So we want to move to have you kicked out. And it only take that one person.
Right.
So here, they saying, hey, look, it's not going to, we're not going to be able to kick you out with one vote. We need 2/3.
Okay.
We need 66 people or more
right.
to oust the guy, you know, to punish this guy, to expel this guy. You know, so if you only have, you know, one friend, you know, out of the whole 100, man, you're doomed. You know what I'm saying?
No, seriously.
And so that's why I say, you know, look, you know, you got 100 guys sitting here, and it's going to take 2/3 of them to get me out of here or to expel me.
I got you.
You know, so I don't know. That's more than majority.
Uh-huh.
You know, since we're supposed to have a democracy here,
uh-huh.
and we believe that majority vote wins.
Right.
So that's perfect.
I get you.
You
so there's nothing that you would revise.
No.
As far as how that's.
I I'm not even reading it. You know. To a point where, you know, I would, you know, consider changing things. This is the Constitution.
Yeah.
It's pretty much ironclad. You know, you can do amendments to it, mm-hmm. but you can't change it.
No, I'm not looking to change. I'm just saying based on...
No, I don't even want... Yeah, I don't even
just
want
to... Just based on how the House is running right now, you wouldn't make changes in the House right now?
But see... I'm not talking about what's happening in Washington.
Now. Oh, no, you're talking about the order.
I'm talking about the gun. Yeah.
I'm going to wait till July episode.
You know, those guys in Washington, man, I throw them all out.
I'm going to wait until we pass this. I'm going to wait. You said no, all of them.
I throw them
you
all
sound
out.
Like, hey, you sound like, Michael Irvin when Dallas Cowboys got eliminated from playoff contingencies. And he sat there in front of the camera and said, they all got to go.
I mean, you know, if you go to current times,
right?
You know, where you have all these different personalities and everybody is trying to be bigger than the next guy, you know, they're not fighting against the norms. They're fighting against each other. You know, they're not fighting to benefit their constituents. They're fighting to dominate their opponent.
Right.
And that's not how this system's supposed to work. You know, we're supposed to be coming to, you know, to common grounds.
Of course.
You know, this is not about to try to dominate, you know, the Republicans or to try to dominate the Democrats. You know,
right.
That's not what this is about, man. We got a common goal. We're supposed to have a common goal.
Right.
You know, and infighting is not it, you know, so.
Hey, look. Hey, at the end of the day, that's not the way.
No, that's not the way.
Let me ask you something. Can you think of Congress full of families? Let's say it's 100 cousins running Congress. Do you think that that's room for a more perfect or less perfect Congress?
That'll be chaos.
You think so?
You know what? Family gets along well together.
When they don't see each other.
So why you want to put 100 of them over in Washington?
Hey, listen. I just wanted to make sure we was on the same page. Ladies and gentlemen, don't do business with your family members. Especially business that alters the country.
No, man. It's terrible.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys have been following up until this very point, you are now up into the knowledge of knowing how many congressmen are in office. How many senators are in office. Now
House
you know.
House of Representatives, yes.
And the House of Representatives. You got the first few lines of the Constitution, and by now you should know when they meet up and how they conduct themselves in the meetings. And I will be the first one to say, when you talk about somebody's eyelashes, it's not that's not a part of the guideline.
No.
We're supposed to be a more, how do you say it, a more perfect union?
Yes.
Not a less perfect.
And that's not creating a perfect union. In fact, it has nothing to do with the union as much as it has to do with individual discipline.
I'm not using that word no more. What you leaving them with, OG? What you leaving them with?
Well, no, just, you know, the dates that I gave you in the beginning, you know, let's try to get this stuff done. You know, you got two October dates.
Run them through one more time.
October 7th, that's the end of registration online by mail and in person.
Okay.
October 21st starts early voting in person. October 24th in request for ballot by mail. November 3rd.
November 3rd is the last day.
And in November 3rd in early voting in person.
Okay.
November 5th in voting drop offs.
Okay.
November 5th ends voting drop off in voting by mail in voting request ballot in person. November 5th is the last day of all this. So November 5th is the election day.
Okay.
So a lot of people like to wait till, you know, the last day. They want to stand in the line and build camaraderie, you know, or whatever they, you know.
Get your early voting out the way.
Yeah, you know. So that's what I want to leave you with.
That's all good, man. That's all good. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you don't vote,
you can't complain.
There it is. There it is, man. Y'all stay blessed out there, man. Love. You know what really tickles me, though?
What's that?
There's a lot of people that would agree that people need to hear this.
Look.
And they don't ever tune in.
Well, they'll get it. You know, we're you know what, man? For black people, we are really ignorant